But along the way of walking through this last week, in whatever spaces that you have been walking, I hope that you know that in the midst of all that, we're not walking this journey alone. But as we've been talking over this last month about the life of Jesus, we see him in so many ways engaging with us in the midst of our regular life stuff, in the midst of our humanity, in the midst of our struggles, in the midst of our pain, in the midst of our joy. He gets us. He's right there with us through it. And as we've been starting out this series, we've seen Jesus as he's walking through life, identifying it with us in those moments of weakness in our humanity, in those times when we're just out in the wilderness. We've seen Jesus in those times of teaching when he calls us to a place of responding to him, to do something with what he's talking to us about. We've seen those moments where Jesus actually confronts us and calls us to something, and we have that opportunity just to leap and follow him, even if we're a little uncertain of how things are going to turn out. And today we're going to see how it is that Jesus meets us in the midst of the stuff that's going on in order to bring healing and to bring life in ways that maybe we don't even expect, as we see two stories of healing today. And so this morning we're going to be in the book of Luke again. We're just continuing our journey through Luke as he traces the life of Jesus. So Luke chapter 5, if you'd like to open up your Bibles to that spot, just to catch up, we'll be going from verse 12 to verse 26 this morning with two different stories of Jesus meeting people and bringing healing to them. But before we get into the stories, let's just take a moment and pray and invite God to speak to us this morning. Heavenly Father, we just thank you that we are here in the midst of all the stuff of our week, in the midst of all the challenges, the disappointments, the sickness, the normal, the surprises. Lord, thank you that we can take this time out to meet with you and to allow you space to speak into our life again. Lord, I just pray that in this time and through your word, you would meet with us. Help us to see you more clearly. Help us to know that you see us in the midst of what we're going through and you want to meet us there. So Lord, may we just may we encounter the living Jesus today as we take this time in your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so like I said, today we're going to look at two stories, two different, unique, but connected stories of Jesus encountering people in the midst of their brokenness and bringing healing, but maybe a little differently than what they were expecting. So the first story is a story of someone who had a skin disease, a real issue, a leper. And so let's read what happened as Jesus encounters this man. Well, Jesus was in one of the towns. A man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell to his face, or with his face to the ground, and begged him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. Then Jesus ordered him, "Don't tell anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Yet the news about him spread all the more. So the crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. All right, so first story, Jesus healing a leper, someone who had this nasty, horrible skin disease that really had not just the effect of causing physical discomfort and pain, but also had the effect of ostracizing him from the rest of society, rest of community. And Jesus, as he's walking along, going through the towns, teaching people and doing all these things, comes into this one town, and he's just walking along, and this man who's covered with leprosy sees him coming and just runs to him and falls down at his feet and says, "Jesus, if you're willing, you can make me clean. I know you can do this. Would you do this for me?" And in an incredible act, I think, of compassion, because of, you know, people who are leprosy are, you know, they're unclean, right? And they're not brought in by anybody into community and they're kind of ostracized, Jesus actually reaches out his hand and touches him. Meets him right where he is, touches him and says, I'm willing. Be clean. And Jesus, in that moment, we see the leprosy leaves the guy's body and he is clean, right? He's healed right in that moment. Jesus heals his body. And then Jesus gives two instructions, which may not have been followed very precisely, but he gives two instructions. The first one is to not go tell anyone what's happened, right? Just keep this to yourself. Don't tell anyone about this, but instead, go and show yourself to the priest and let them do the thing that they're supposed to do. So don't tell anyone about this, but go show yourself to the priest. Now, interestingly, it's one of those things, I don't spend a lot of time reading in the Old Testament law about all the different ceremonial laws that people had to do, but if you go back to Leviticus 13 and 14, it covers all the stuff to do with what do you do with someone who has a defiling skin disease. So if you're really into reading about defiling skin diseases, you can check out Leviticus 13 and 14, and you'll read all about it. It's fantastic, just compelling reading. But Leviticus 13 talks about what do you do if you have a defiling skin disease. And there's all these things. You go show yourself to the priest, and if it stays for a certain amount of time, then you're declared unclean, and you have to go around calling out unclean, unclean, and nobody goes around you, and you're kind of ostracized, and you live outside the camp, away from everybody else. You can't live in community with other people, right? And you're ceremonially unclean. You can't participate in the worship of God at the temple because of this condition you have. Leviticus 14 moves into what do you do if you are cleansed from a defiling skin disease? So what happens now if your leprosy or your defiling skin disease goes away? What do you do then? And this is what Jesus is telling this guy to go do, is to fulfill what the law says in Leviticus 14. And what it says there is you go show yourself to the priest again, right? And the priest, when they see that you're clean, they offer a sacrifice to make you again ceremonially clean. So now you can participate in what's going on in community. You can participate in the ceremonial law of God and what you do at the temple and all those things. You can now do this again. You're welcome back into community because now you are declared clean, okay? So not only now is his body clean, but if he goes to the priest and has these sacrifices offered, now he's brought back into relationship with people. Relationally, he's going to experience some healing from the isolation and loneliness that he's been living with. But not only that, and this was the part that was significant as I was reading this. After they do the sacrifices for the cleansing, then the priest also offers the guilt offering and the sin offering on behalf of the person who has been cleansed from this defiling skin disease. They offer the sacrifices of atonement so that their sins can be forgiven. Okay? So up until this time, when he's been living as an unclean man, that hasn't been happening. He's been living with the weight of his sin that he's been carrying around. And now Jesus is saying, your body is clean, so now go show yourself to the priest. They're going to make you ceremonial clean. You'll be invited back into community and relationship with people. But also, now you can experience the forgiveness of God as you come and bring the sacrifices that are required for the forgiveness of sin. Now you can also be spiritually clean. Jesus wasn't just healing this man on the outside. He was also dealing with the stuff that was on the inside. He was healing this leper both inside and out. Jesus saw not just the obvious physical need this man had, which was, leprosy, it's pretty obvious that you got this. But he also saw the deeper need that this man had to be restored to community, to be restored in relationship with God, and he dealt with that too. Now, we noted that Jesus gave this man two instructions, right? Two things to do. Don't tell anyone, right? And go show yourself to the priest. Now, it doesn't actually say whether or not he went to show himself to the priest, but we do get a very clear indication that he did not listen to the first instruction particularly well. Now, Luke is a little more subtle about this. He says news about him spread around the entire region. He doesn't quite just come out and say it. Mark's a little more explicit in his account of this event, where he says that the man went and just basically blabbed all over the place what Jesus had done for him. So he didn't listen to the first instruction, and as a result, now we're having bigger crowds come in, and all those things are happening, and now Jesus has to retreat to solitary places just to even get some space alone to pray. But these bigger crowds are coming to him, which are going to start including some of the religious leaders who are going to check out what it is that Jesus is doing. But just before we get to a story where they're there for one of the healings of Jesus, I just want to pause for a second and just think about this leper for a minute. And this is me spitballing a little bit here, okay? So don't take this as biblical truth, but this is just me thinking about this. He didn't really follow the first instruction particularly well. He didn't listen to Jesus when he told him not to go tell anyone. If he didn't follow the second instruction, to go show himself to the priest, does that mean he was just satisfied with the fact that he was physically healed? And he said, it's good enough? Was he satisfied with just dealing with the physical problem that he had, that he didn't really care about the offer that Jesus had to deal with some deeper stuff? It was good enough. Good enough that we dealt with the physical. I'm feeling better? Hey, let's go on with life. It's great. Let's not worry about the deeper spiritual stuff. Let's not worry about the relational stuff so much. I'm just happy to be clean. Anyways. That's just me thinking. I don't know. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't go. But if he didn't, I wonder why. Why didn't he go? Was he just satisfied and thought this was enough? Okay, second story of healing. So that's the first one. Healing of the leper, cleaned him inside and out. Incidentally, there are notes in your handout today. I didn't tell you that beforehand, but if you wanted to fill in those, if you like filling the blanks, that was the first part, was healing a leper and then inside and out, if you guys are the type of people who have to have that filled out to feel like your day was complete. Okay, so, second story of healing, carrying on in Luke chapter 5. One day, Jesus was teaching, and Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there. They had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say get up and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today." All right, so story number two, the healing of a paralytic. Now, this was always one of those stories that I remember from Sunday school. I don't know about you guys. So for people who grew up in church and you're getting a little bit older like I am, because I start to realize how many years ago that was, but we had the flannel graph. Do you guys remember the flannel graph, right? And you had it was like a big piece of flannel, and you had like the characters you could kind of stick onto it, and they were like walking around all over. And anyways, I always remember this story because this was one of those ones that was just classic, right? You see the guys, and they can't get in the house because it's so packed. There's people from all over the region, even as far as Jerusalem now, coming to see Jesus and hear him and hopefully see some of his healings. These guys cannot get into the house. It's so crowded with people. And so they take their friend, because they really want to get Jesus to heal their friend, and they take him up on top of the roof, and they're digging through the roof to get through there, and they lower him down on the mat with ropes, and you can see that kind of on the flannel thing going down, right in front of Jesus, right? And then Jesus sees him, and he says these incredible words, "You're healed!" Actually, he didn't. It says, when he saw their faith, which is interesting, just as a little side note, he saw the faith of the friends, not the faith of the paralytic. But when he saw their faith, He said, your sins are forgiven. Well, that must have been a disappointment. I mean, don't you think, if you're one of the four friends, right, and you've seen this packed full house, and you get through all the trouble of getting up on the roof, digging through the roof, you're lowering your friend down, making sure you're not, like, these guys aren't going too much faster than these guys, and you're trying to make sure it all goes down nice and even so he doesn't, like, tip off the mat, right? You get him all the way down in front of Jesus, right? He says, wow, you guys have incredible faith. And then he says, that's amazing. Your sins are forgiven. What about the legs, Jesus? Did you notice the legs can't really work? Jesus saw their faith and he said, friend, your sins are forgiven. Incidentally, when you look at the verb tense, it's a perfect passive, which means it's a completed action, right? This is done. Your sins are forgiven for you, and implication being they're forgiven for you by God. You've been forgiven for your sins. It's done. This is not a future thing. This is not something you have to fulfill. It's done. Completely. Now, not only I think would the friends have been a little bit caught aback at Jesus' statement, and maybe the paralytic too, but the religious leaders who are sitting there, the ones who have come to check Jesus out because they've been hearing lots about this rabbi, this teacher going around, they were certainly taken aback by what Jesus said. And they start thinking to themselves, yeah, Who can forgive sins but God alone? Who does this guy think he is to declare that your sins are forgiven? This is something that only God does. And here's this guy saying your sins are forgiven. This is not okay. This is blasphemy. And Jesus, I love this, Jesus sees what they're thinking, right? He can see it. He looks right at them and he knows exactly what's going on in their minds and he calls them on it. And then we have this great question. Which is easier? Is it easier to say your sins are forgiven, or is it easier to say get up and walk to a paralytic? Which one's easier to do? Well, on the one hand, they're kind of both equally difficult to do because only the power of God can do either one of them. But on the other hand, if you're talking about him being, or just wondering if he's a bit of a shyster, well, it's way easier to say your sins are forgiven because you don't need any visible evidence of that, right? Who can say you're wrong? Who can say that didn't happen? Whereas if you were to say, get up and walk to a paralyzed man, well, there's going to be some physical evidence if you can actually do what you said you just did, right? There's going to be something that'll prove right away whether you're just full of it or whether you actually have the power to do this. So of course it's easier to say your sins are forgiven. But Jesus says, listen, I want you guys to know that I actually have the authority, the power to forgive sins. So, therefore, because I want you guys to know that, and that'd be the easier one to do, I'm going to tell this guy to get up and take his mat and go home. And the man stands up, and he's able to take his mat and walk out the door. Jesus does something to show them. I mean, words are cheap, right? Words are cheap, and you could just say whatever. But he's going to show them that he actually has authority to forgive sins by doing what is the more difficult thing. And actually healing this man and allowing him to walk. Because he wants them to know that he is actually the one who he says he is. Therefore, he does something that can prove it. And so in the case of this paralytic, just like the case with the leper, this is a healing that occurs not just outside, but also inside. Except in this case, Jesus starts with the inside, dealing with the sins. Seeing this man, seeing the need he had for healing from his sins, his forgiveness. And then moving to the outside and healing him of what was obvious, really the need. So two stories of healing. Two stories of Jesus doing remarkable things for people. And as we look at these two stories, of these broken people, these two stories about Jesus meeting with them, I absolutely love the humanity we see in these stories. I love that we see so many different types of people, and I think in seeing that, we also see ourselves in these stories. We see the skeptics, the ones who are like, yeah, prove it. We see the hopeful, the ones who are just longing for something to happen, We see the doubters. Could it really be that Jesus is going to do this? We see the faithful, the ones who are trusting and believing Jesus can do this and making every effort to get their friend in front of Jesus. And I think, honestly, I see myself in this story too. I see myself with all of my own brokenness. I see myself with all of my longings for what God would do in the midst of that. Maybe you see yourself in this story too. But we also see Jesus in this story, and what a picture of Jesus we see. We see Jesus who doesn't just deal with the obvious stuff. He doesn't just deal with the things that we are aware of or we know about or just are the biggest things screaming at us right in front of us. He doesn't just deal with that stuff, but Jesus looks deeper to the deeper need that we have. He's not just satisfied to say, sure, you know what? Leper, you're clean of all your leprosy. Have a good day. He sees what's going on deeper in this man and wants to bring healing in the deeper places of him. He sees the deeper need. He saw that this man had a spiritual need. He saw that he had a relational need that wasn't just going to be dealt with just because Jesus said, you're clean. He wanted him to experience the fullness and wholeness of life that God had for him. With the paralytic. I mean, Jesus could obviously see this guy can't walk, right? But he also saw not just the physical need that was obvious in front of him, but he saw the brokenness and sinfulness in this man. And instead of just saying, sure, get up and walk, he said, son, your sins are forgiven. Let's deal with the need that's the deeper, bigger need for you. And then later on, obviously, dealing with the obvious need that everyone could see. With the friends, Jesus saw deeper into them too. He saw their faith. He saw their faithfulness in bringing their friend and trying to get him in any way they could to the feet of Jesus. He saw their faith and their trust in him. With the religious leaders, do you notice he offers them an opportunity for some healing too? I don't think you picked that up in the story, but he saw their doubt about who he was, right? He saw that they were skeptical, that they didn't really believe that he could be doing the things that he said he's doing. He couldn't really forgive sins. And so he said, listen, I want you guys to know. I want you guys to know that I actually can do what I am saying I can do. So therefore, I'm going to offer you a conclusive, visible proof that I can do this. And I'm going to give you guys an opportunity to actually believe. Jesus looked into them, could see their doubt, could see their skepticism, and he offered a chance for them to come to a place of faith. Jesus saw deeper. He saw below just the surface stuff. He saw the deeper need in these people. And he offered an opportunity to address it. And for you today, Jesus sees the deeper need inside each one of you. That deep space of brokenness that maybe you don't talk about much. Maybe you're not even all that aware of. Maybe you've been hiding it for so long you've convinced yourself it's not really that big a deal. But Jesus sees right into that place of brokenness in you that's buried deep down. And I believe he wants to bring healing in that place. You might be aware of all the obvious stuff, the things that are kind of bugging you every day, that physical ailment that's always on your mind, that maybe that emotional weight that you're always carrying around, that relational stuff that's just a real pain right now. And Jesus sees that stuff too. Don't get me wrong. It's not like he looks right past the obvious to see the deeper, but he sees both. And he wants to bring wholeness in you. I found over this last year particularly, there's been a number of times when Jesus has shown me some deeper stuff in me that I mean, maybe I was partly aware of, but he really helped articulate it a lot more. Through a space that we had called one-to-one, just through some silence and solitude, just one-on-one time with God, and just listening to him and allowing him through his word to speak into my heart, man, there was some stuff that he showed me about those deeper places that he wanted to bring healing in. Some deeper places of pride and some deep, long-standing relational stuff with family. There were some deep places that God wanted to work on in me. He sees it. He sees those deep places of need that each one of us have. He knows the needs that you do have. And this is not, this shouldn't be surprising, because this is what you see as you read Jesus' life story. As you read through the accounts of Jesus' life in any of the Gospels, you see this over and over and over. Jesus encounters people like the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman at the well. And she thinks they're having a conversation about water. And right away it moves to a conversation about her deeper spiritual need. And Jesus sees, just by looking at her, her whole life story. He knows that she's been in 5 marriages, and now the man she's with isn't even her husband. He knows the brokenness that's in this woman. And he just calls it out. And she finds some grace in the midst of her shame that she experiences. We see it when he meets with people along the way who are just trying to justify themselves. People like the rich young ruler who just wanted, you know, one more, which command should I make sure I'm doing, Jesus, to make sure things are good? Jesus sees the deeper issues going on in this man. He can see beyond just all the good stuff that he's doing on the surface to see a heart that's still broken. A heart that's still full of greed and things, wants all the material stuff that he's got. And Jesus deals with that, confronts him on it. We see this all the way through the story as Jesus encounters the Pharisees and the teachers of the law time and time and time and time again. And there's a great point in which he says, you guys are like whitewashed sepulchers, right? You guys look really, really nice on the surface. Everything is polished and clean and everything looks good. And on the inside, you are rotting death. How's that for a great image? Jesus could look past all of their great obedience to the law and see the brokenness and the sinfulness inside. And when you think about what Jesus actually came to do, this is just a thought. This is one of those, you know, kind of spitballing moments again. But can you imagine what would have happened? Jesus, his recorded life for us, right, when he's actually out doing stuff, when he's healing people and teaching, is only about 3 years, we believe, right? It's about 3 years long. Can you imagine if he had hung out doing that for like 30 years? I mean, there might have been no sickness in Israel at all. Or the surrounding regions, right? If he had hung out a little longer, right? And you'd see like demons cast out all over the place, it just would have been like this shining country in the middle of the world where everything was perfect had Jesus hung out that much longer. Why didn't he? Jesus saw not only all of the stuff that he was dealing with all of the demons and the healings and all that stuff, he saw the deeper need that we all have in humanity. In that all of our brokenness, all of our hurt, all of our stuff, all is rooted in sin. And Jesus, rather than just continuing to put band-aids on the surface all over the place, decided to go right to the root of it for all of us and give his life as the perfect sacrifice to deal with the root problem, because he saw deeper than just what was needed for the surface. And that's what we're going to celebrate a little later in our service at the communion table. That Jesus allowed himself to be crucified, to have his body executed, to pay the debt for our sin, to deal with the problem of sin so that we could be free from it and have life in him. He should let his blood be shed on the cross to make a new agreement between us and God, a new covenant, so that we could be in right relationship with God again. That's not marred by sin, so we could actually experience wholeness and eternal life with God in relationship with him. Jesus saw the deeper need that we have, and he addressed it. He addressed it. Jesus looks deeper into us and offers us healing in those deep places, as well as wanting to deal with some of the obvious as well. So that's the first piece, I think, that comes through both of these stories, is that Jesus sees deeper. The other piece I just want to mention briefly is that Jesus meets us where we are. And I think we saw that in that beautiful image of Jesus reaching out his hand to touch a man who has a defiling skin disease, touching a wound on a person, meeting him where he was. He didn't ask him to go kind of fix things up first before he would meet with him and do this. He didn't ask him to clean up and make sure everything was right in his life before he would actually be willing to touch him. Jesus met him where he was. He met the paralytic where he was. Just as he came down in front of him, he just right there, Jesus offers him life. He meets the religious leaders where they are, in the midst of their doubt, in the midst of their skepticism. And he offers a way for them to find faith and trust. Jesus meets us where we are, and he invites us to respond to him, to meet him in the midst of our brokenness. So let me ask you this. Where are you in the story? If you were to think about, you know, sometimes it's fun to read the biblical story and try and envision where we are in the midst of the story. So as we read these two stories today, where are you in them? Are you maybe part of the crowd? You know, you're starting to hear these things about Jesus, and it sounds pretty cool, and you like seeing the healings, and you like seeing things going on in other people, and maybe you want to check that out. You want to hear a little bit more teaching about him, but you're in a place where, as much as it's fun to see it going on all around you, you're not ready to take the leap yourself. That's a little too close. It's great to see Jesus doing that on the other side of the room, but that's close enough for me. Are you maybe more like the leper? Someone who you see Jesus coming and man, you just run to him full of passion and desire and longing for what he's going to do for you. You seek Jesus out just hoping that he will touch you to bring healing to your body or to your soul or to you emotionally or relationally. But are you also maybe like the leper who gets satisfied with just that little initial touch, and that's good enough? Just enough of Jesus to get you through for a little while. But let's not go too crazy. Let's not get all in, you know? Like, isn't it just a little bit at a time is okay? Are you like the paralytic? One who can see very obviously your need. But on your own, you're not looking for Jesus. Maybe you lack the faith to trust him. And so it's actually friends who might drag you along to the feet of Jesus. Are you like the religious leaders, maybe, just checking things out? Spectator, not really sure what to think of Jesus. Maybe a little skeptical about this whole Jesus thing. Where are you in the story? Here's one thing I want us to realize today. Jesus welcomed all of them. He welcomed all of them. Didn't matter if they were in a place of skepticism, didn't matter if they were in a place of lack of faith, it didn't matter if they were in a place of coming but being satisfied with just the surface we hadn't dealt with. Didn't matter. Jesus welcomed all of them. He invited all of them to come to him. He taught the crowds. He healed many of them. He healed the leper. He forgave the paralytic. And he showed the religious leaders who he was. He welcomed all of them. And he met all of them exactly where they were. And offered them what they needed to deal with the deeper need that was inside of them. So no matter where you are, no matter how you find yourself in this story, Jesus is inviting you to come. To come to meet with him. To allow him to look more deeply into you. To see what's going on there and try and bring, to bring healing in those deeper places. He invites you to come and meet with him today. And we want to invite you to come. Come to the feet of Jesus and ask him for that today. You know, one of the things that we've been talking about over this last several months is our new vision, I Will Build My Church. And one of the key pieces of that is prayer. Coming to God in prayer. And one of the markers of the New Testament church that we see was that they were a people devoted to and committed to taking time in prayer, prayer for one another, prayer that God would move among them, among their cities where they lived, all kinds of things. They spent time in prayer. And we know that for God to build his church in this place, in this city, we need to be a people of prayer. People willing to come before the Father with our deepest needs and just ask him to meet us there. And so we want to begin more and more to provide you opportunities to have spaces where you can come and meet God in prayer. So after every service, we're going to give you opportunity to come and for people to be here to pray with you if you need that. If you need a friend to be alongside you, maybe that friend's sitting beside you and they really actually literally need to carry you up to the front so that you can be there and meet with Jesus today because you're not really in a place where you have the faith to do it. Or maybe once you get here, you just need a friend to be here to pray with you and meet Jesus with you this morning in whatever it is that you're struggling with. But we want to provide you that opportunity consistently and continually so that you can continue to come to the throne of grace and meet with God in prayer. And allow him to see those deeper spaces in your life and begin to bring more wholeness and healing in your life. So today, here's what we're going to do. As normal, we're going to have our response time in just a few moments. We're going to invite you to bring up your kids. That's all going to happen. We're going to sing a song, and then after that, we're going to have people come up to serve communion to you so that you can come to the Lord's table and receive the bread and the juice that represents Jesus' body and his blood that we talked about earlier. And in the midst of our response time, if you would like to have someone pray with you, just have a seat in the front row. No one ever sits in the front row. Have you noticed that? I don't know if it's because it's like the spit zone for me, or I don't know what it is. But no one ever sits in the front row. So there's always room in the front row. So this is perfect. So if you would like someone to come pray with you, you don't have to come meet them in a corner or something freaky like that. Just come and have a seat in the front row. If you want to do that after you receive communion, you can do it then. If you want to do it after the service concludes, you can do it then. Stephen and Kayla are going to be up here hanging out to pray with you. And they would love to be able to just come with you to the feet of Jesus and bring whatever it is that you have on your heart today to him. But if you would like someone to pray with you, just please come up to the front row. There's space here. There's lots of space. We can even move out into the side to the front row because, you know, other than Ken, no one's sitting down here. Needs to be playing bass, so that's okay. Lots of room, okay? But come and meet with Jesus this morning. Now, just before we move to our time of response, I want to share a story with you. Because you may be thinking, maybe if you're in that kind of skeptical place, well, it was nice that God did this, but what about now? So I want to share a story with you of something that happened last week. And I asked Donna if I could share her story, if she wanted to share it, and she decided to write it down so that I could share it with you. And so these are Donna's words about what God did in meeting her in a place of deeper need. And we'll see if I can get through this without crying. Probably not. In the last 2 weeks, I have been told that I have congestive heart failure caused by atrial fibrillation in the upper chamber of the heart. I asked if I could be anointed with oil and prayed for by the elders. God met me there. It was not just about the physical. It was more about my relationship with him. I've always struggled with realizing that God cares about me. I had no doubt that he cares for others, but felt so unworthy of his caring for me. After confessing my unbelief and dealing with my feelings of anxiety, we spent some time in prayer. I felt the love of God flood me through the power of the Holy Spirit. I was filled with hope. During Dawn's prayer in the service, the verse was given to me that God's strength is made perfect in weakness. I had thought, oh no, God, does this mean you will not heal me? Again, my strength is made perfect in weakness. I submitted to his will, not mine. I am feeling better and stronger. I do not know if God healed my heart, but I do know I can trust him for his love and care for the future. As I finish writing this, I am brought to tears by a sense of his overwhelming love for me. God meets us in the deep places where we need him.